Welcome to On the Mark, a podcast series that explores the effects on various businesses of the COVID pandemic and how companies have survived and thrived during these difficult times and how they're doing after the end of this pandemic. I'm your host, Howard Mark Rubin, and this podcast series came about as a result of my realization as an attorney with a New York City law firm, Getz Fitzpatrick, that represented many businesses, that businesses have been affected and at such a large scale, and every business and every person has been affected in such a large scale by this pandemic. Some businesses have thrived and become stronger. Some have gone out of business. Some have become weaker. Some have had challenges that they've been able to meet. Some have not. But it's important that we address how those industries have dealt with COVID and how they've affected them and how they're doing in the future. This podcast series is sponsored by the Strategic Forum, which was founded in 1999 in New York City and expanded in 2004 to South Florida. It's an organization consisting of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and business leaders who believe in forming deep business and personal relationships based on mutual respect and trust and continued learning and intellectual enrichment. Current membership in the Strategic Forum represents a diverse group from public and private businesses and organizations. And with us today to discuss real estate development and how that has been affected by the pandemic and what they're doing now is one of the leading real estate development firms and realty firms in Long Island, Peter Constantino Jr. from Constantino Development Group. Welcome, Peter. How are you today?
Howard, thank you for having me on. Okay. I'm doing well. What about yourself?
Good. And just a little background on Peter. Peter is the Chief Development Officer with Constantino Real Estate Development. They manage 2.5 million square feet of retail and mixed-use space. They also have a management and realty division. It's also rumored that Peter is a pretty good golfer. I played with him yesterday and hit some really nice shots. So if his father's listening, he's better than you told him he was. Anyway, let's go to the issue at hand. Peter, what was COVID like for you and your company? What challenges did you face during COVID?
COVID was a big question mark in the beginning. As we're retail heavy and we have a lot of shopping centers that rely on people to come in an actual physical shop, brick and mortar, we didn't know what to expect. But as time went on, and we got into the transition phase of having a set plan and meeting with some of our tenants, like Chick-fil-A, for example, and we helped them develop plans on how they would be successful. Things started to, started to come upright, and we knew everything was going to be okay. But like I said in the beginning, it was extremely scary, and we didn't know what the future was of this whole entire business. But we stayed stuck to our guns and we did whatever we could do to help our tenants, and things ended up turning out to be pretty good. There's a couple lasting effects that have taken place with that. We've made continuous relationships that we're thankful for, whether it be municipality leaders and whatnot, that were able to help guide us. But, yep, for the best, everything ended up turning out okay.
Which type of tenants did well? Starting in, I would say, March of 2020 is when, businesses were really affected. Did you have tenants that just couldn't pay their rent and you had to make concessions to them or just gave up their leases? What happened in March 2020 to the ones that weren't the superstores?
March 2020, thank God, out of all of our portfolio, we only had about one tenant that had an issue with paying, and we moved into negotiating an extended rent schedule for them to pay over time. We ended up getting back on track, and we were actually one of the few 95% reporting we collected rent during the pandemic.
Wow.
You know, lucky for us, we deal with a lot of AAA rated tenants, so we're not someone who has a lot of mom and pops. Unfortunately, we didn't have to deal with you know, some of the nonsense that others had to take on. And you know as much as I know, banks don't want to hear that. They want their payment every month for the mortgage. There's water bills, there's electric bills, there's maintenance bills. So we were very lucky that we didn't have to endure that stress when it came to that stuff. And a lot of our tenants stuck to what they needed to pay, and, you know, they took care of it.
So the fact that you made sure that most of your tenants, almost all your tenants, were AAA tenants is really what prevented you from being hurt here. Because I know a lot of smaller strip malls and you know, commercial businesses who didn't have that kind of quality tenant, they were in a lot more trouble than you were.
That's correct. We do try and stay towards a AAA rated tenant. There's nothing wrong with a mom and pop tenant. You know, and a lot of mom and pop tenants do bring in a great experience, whether it be for food or, you know, clothing stores, if you would. But we do try and stay with a AAA rated tenant, even if we do need to knock a couple bucks off, to know that we have a good creditor in there. And if something does, like a pandemic, happen, you know that they're going to be able to take care of their financial duties.
Did you find that during the pandemic that there were certain opportunities that were open to you, that maybe real estate prices went down and you could make some acquisitions, or you could make some changes that gave you a competitive advantage because you were so strong in the tenant base that you had, that you could take advantage of things?
Yes. Well, first off, to answer that question, it's very important in this business to have a cash reserve always on hand. We were able to do a few off-market transactions during the time of the pandemic that had a major positive effect on the whole company, and we were able to pick up a few square feet. So that was always a plus. But, you know, like I said, we were worried in the beginning of what the future was for brick and mortar, and, you know, if everything was going to be all right, which obviously everything panned out okay, but it was definitely an uncertain time.
I know that a lot of the malls, Simon Malls and some of the Kimco, they were finding that their Class A malls were doing well, but the Class B and C malls were having problems, which kind of is what you were referring to, and that mostly it's the tenant base. Do you find that now that these malls are trying to upgrade their tenants and there's more competition for the AAA tenants?
Absolutely. It's all about, you know, no matter what you have, if you have a strip center, if you have a mall, if you have a large shopping center, it's all about creating a destination-driven piece of property and taking uses and putting them together. And, you know, that's something that we like to always joke in the office. My father's very strong with that, taking a piece of property and taking, you know, tenant A, B, and C, and making sure that they're all work hand in hand together so that they could eat off of each other and everyone's always successful. So at a time where you basically had a restructure with COVID and a shopping mall, like you said, with Simon, it's important to make sure that you always have shops that are going to go hand in hand with each other. It's not going to be random people that are just going to pay that rent, because, you know, at some point it's going to come back to nip you, and either they're not going to be able to pay the rent, or, you know, something's going to go south and it's just not going to work. So it's always good to take everything into account before you sign those leases and make sure that everyone works well with each other. And that's something we at Cosentino Development take very seriously. We like to make sure that our tenants do well, because if our tenants are going to do well, they're going to be able to pay at the end of the day. You know, we're not a company that's going to sit here and go, hey, this works, they're going to pay right now. We always take everything and we look at everything, the what if scenarios, are they going to work together perfectly? And then we move forward.
Do you find that you have to, for the anchor tenants, the Walmarts or the big anchor tenants, which draw people to the mall, do you find that you have to make more concessions to them in terms of rental than you did in the past, because you know, they're so important for the health of a mole?
No, you know, with that being said, you had a Costco, and I should have used this as an example
right.
before.
Costco.
Costco had a line that was out of our power center over located in Comac off of Crooked Hill Road. You couldn't even get in there, Howard. Mm. You could not even get in there with the amount of foot traffic and car traffic that was in there. Those large grocery tenants always did well. There was nothing to worry about with them. And their business, if anything, has been completely up on sales through the pandemic and obviously stayed at what we call now post-pandemic number. You know, you might have had a store that was doing, this is a complete example, that was doing $3 a foot, that during the pandemic, a grocery store might have been doing $10 a foot. You know, you were seeing things that were just completely absurd. And that also was an interesting time during the market, because for the last year, you've been looking at numbers and you had to take into account, okay, is this pre-pandemic number or is this post-pandemic number?
Do you find that Amazon's a threat to malls or to some mall tenants, that they're now in the food business with Whole Foods, and they're now doing so much online, and they're just having distribution centers, and they're not having actual retail centers, but they're doing just a distribution? Do you find that's going to be a significant change in the mix that you're going to find in malls?
Again, if you have a strong shopping center, strip center that has an attraction to it, and you have a good placing tenant, you have nothing to worry about. The only positive that Amazon has is if you need something physically on hand that you can't get from that brick and mortar tenant, they're able to expedite that process and get it there. I still personally, and I know a lot of people are also, I'm someone who goes out and I get my vegetables, I go and get my groceries, I want to buy my clothes, I want to see it. I'm not someone who's going to do a transaction like that, and I think a lot of people are like that also. And when you look at tenants like Home Goods, for example, they're always changing up what's coming in. You know, it's almost like just what's going to come, you're spinning the wheel. You don't know if there's going to be a Louis Vuitton bag or if there's going to be a Gucci bag. You never know what's going to be inside of a tenant like that. And, you know, we try and go for those kinds of tenants that are always going to, you don't know what to expect with something like that. So it always keeps a hype, and you have to be inside the store to see what they have. And once they sell out of it, that's the end of it.
I know that I represent a lot of clients in the retail electronic business, and their concern is something called showrooming. I don't know if you know what that is, but it means that customers would come into their stores, they'd look at a TV another electronic product, and then they'd go look up at Amazon how much they can get for Amazon or another place, and they'd be using basically the store for showrooming, to just see it, and then they'd go buy it somewhere else. Do you find that's a problem for any of your clients?
When you look at a wholesaler like Costco already has their set prices that are in competition with Amazon. And the only other positive is you know exactly what you're getting. You know, you can get a false advertising with Amazon. Could be you're getting this TV. It doesn't turn out to be exactly what it is. You know exactly what you're getting in front of you. And they 90% of the time have it in stock right there, and you can grab it. And that's what I mean with being able to physically see and do a transaction and take it back to your home right away. In those instances, I don't think that it's an issue. And I think people that are true to brick and mortar, and I think there's a lot of them, they go out there and they see it and then they buy it, and that's it. But for the person who doesn't want to drag it home, that will change. But I think that there's enough people out there that still like to go down and they like to shop. They like to physically see it. They like to purchase it, and they like to take it home the same day.
And so you would say that Constantino Development, or I know you have several divisions, but that your company is stronger now than it was pre-COVID, that you're one of the beneficiaries of COVID, that it's because of your client mix and because of the opportunities that you were able to take advantage of, that you're actually a stronger company now than you were before.
Absolutely.
from day one of the pandemic, you know, obviously it was nerve wracking, but up on the upscale and there was a light at the end of the tunnel, we ended up coming out as one of the tops, and we're very thankful for that. Our relationships with some of our tenants have gotten stronger. Like I told you, I was in communication 24/7 with the operator of the local Comac Chick-fil-A. That's our tenant, making sure that the common area way was set up in a way that he could perform with drive through and make his transactions be swift, but also help make sure our tenants on the other side of the shopping center could still get in and get what they needed from the Starbucks, the Chipotle. We just wanted to make sure that everyone was doing well. But a tenant like Chick-fil-A, who just does tremendous amounts of volume of business, you know, you want to work with those guys and make sure that they can get everyone in there on that drive-through lane, which actually the Comac location, we just ended up doing a little bit of construction to the drive-through. We went from 2 lanes to 3 lanes. So that's going to, you know, that shows you how much business they're doing with carryout. And wow, that's something that's another conversation to have with the change of carryout services.
Well, I think it's an advantage to you that you're a family-owned and operated business. All the top management are family members, and you can be very nimble, and you don't have to have a board of directors, or you have no one to answer to except each other. And I think that gives you the ability to be very nimble, which I think is certainly an advantage in this market.
Yeah, I agree. Public companies are great and all, but there's definitely, you know, a board of directors, and with all that stuff, it gets a little bit too complicated. And I think, you know, ourselves, the Breslins, you look at companies like that who are in-house, and it's more of a family establishment. You're able to do things at a quicker process than these bigger public companies.
I wanted to talk to you a little about the generational changes. Sure. I've found, and I think we've had this conversation before, that I get frustrated with a lot of the Gen Zs, that they don't have the same work ethic, that they're not looking to succeed in the same way that my generation are. I know you're part of that generation, and I think you're more of an exception than the rule, you and your sisters. But how do you find your employees, because you have a lot of employees, do you find them to have the same drive, the same thought that they want to succeed and they're going to do what it takes to succeed? Or are they looking more to doing the minimum and then just living a happier life and not having to work to make a living?
Every employee that we encounter with is highly motivated and wants to grow and wants to, you know, overperform than what our expectations are. Over here at Costantino, like I told you, we're a family company. So a lot of people see that sense of family, and that's the way that this whole entire company is built on. It's a family organization. Anyone who comes in here and works for us, they're treated like family. So in that instance, I can't really talk because, you know, even during the pandemic, we didn't allow it, but people wanted to come in and work because we just, it's a sense of family here. And I think that's very important when you look at the millennials. You know, they do want a personal incentive, but they also want to know that they're, you know, needed. And if you could show people that you care about them, they're going to come in.
Do you have a lot of people work virtually? Do you have a lot of virtual workers or hybrid workers? What do you do?
We do a little bit of remote. We have summer Fridays that, you know, the employees are able to take off after 2 o'clock. But everyone, for the most part, comes in. You know, it's a great office. You know, we do small things like buying everyone lunch and making sure that the coffee room is stacked with snacks and whatnot. And, you know, it's everyone wants to be around each other, which is a great thing. We're very lucky in that sense. We don't have an issue with people wanting to work remote, but as you did say, most of this generation, they do want to stay home, and it's more about having leisure, being able to stay in your pajamas. You know, we don't ask our employees also to get dressed up in a 3-piece suit, but we do ask that, you know, you come in with a pair of slacks or what you would, but you know, it's definitely has changed in a sense of that with the next generation.
Now, I know that you do more than just the development. The company also has a real estate brokerage arm. It has a management arm. Do you find that those businesses were affected more by COVID than your development business?
Our realty division has been busting at the seams with transactions between commercial and residential. We can't get enough listings right now to even hold. People are buying, and we're still seeing it. We're, you know, we just actually got off a phone call with a gentleman that's looking for two houses right now. But everything was affected to a positive between the management end. The positives of having a management company, just to go on that route, is, you know, you don't need to worry about with a pandemic. We take care of making sure that whether the vendors out there are taking care of the property or what's going on with your tenants, we know how to operate this and how to make sure that you're going to be okay. We're your insurance. And that's something that a lot of owners of properties are starting to turn to. It's a little bit less hands-on, and you know that you're getting your money, but we're dealing with the dirty work.
And where do you see the company going 3 years from now? Which do you, are you looking to expand the development part of the business, all parts of the business? Do you see any changes in how you're doing business in the next 3 years?
We're actively expanding. You know, it's hopefully we'll have a few more hundreds of millions square feet. I would like to get this company to somewhere around 8 million square feet. And we're actively acquiring. As far as the management side, we've been picking up numerous assignments, and we hope to keep that going. We like to think that we're pretty good at managing our own personal assets, but also outside property owners. We like to take care of people, and we have the resources to take care of that. As far as the realty end, they've been picking up more and more salespeople, and hopefully that stays that way.
Do you there's such an expansion in AI? It's in the news every day. Mm-hmm. Has AI have any effect on your business? Are you incorporating AI in anything that you do?
Yeah, to, you know, a sense of looking at numbers and placements, we do use AI a little bit. We also use, you know, data analyst trackings from NPD Group and whatnot to look at things like that and where sales are heading for our tenants. Placer AI.
I know you do a great job in the software, because I have some of your tenants some clients that you do management for, that you have great reports and that you know how the company is doing. I was thinking that AI maybe would help do projections on how things are going to be in the future, how, you know, to project how sales would be. I would think that's where AI would maybe be a help to your business. Do you see that?
Yes, I definitely agree with that. You know, it's all about tracking and projections in this business to know what your next best move is.
Right. So do you see, real estate, the banking is, interest rates are up now substantially, probably double they were a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago. Do you see that affecting your ability to increase development?
Absolutely. Obviously money makes the world go round. And, when you look at what we have going on right now, I think people that are stocked with a capital war chest and are heavy liquid are the ones that are going to come out on top when things start going south and you have, you know, people that can't make those payments on their notes and whatnot. Those are when when regular sized companies are going to step up and start acquiring more real estate and be able to come to the next size.
And you think you'll be one of those companies?
We like to think so. We do a great job of making sure that our war chest is stacked at all times and we're ready to acquire.
Well, that's you know, you've grown in a very conservative manner, but a very steady manner. And
that's another thing with the management side also, Howard. Mm-hmm. We like to always make sure that we always stress to whoever the owner is to always have money on hand and create a reserve, whether it be for a pandemic or whether it be to able to make a capital improvement. We always believe that it's important to keep money as a reserve.
Do you find it hard to get, you must in your business, and I think you're in charge of this part of the business, maintaining these properties. Mm-hmm. Do you find it hard to get people to maintain the properties and that aspect of the business, to get people working to do that?
Not necessarily. We have a great environment when it comes to that. And when we go for outside vendors, also to protect the owner or ourselves, we always try and get a long-term negotiated contract, whether it be for the parking lot sweeping, the snow removal, landscaping. And that's another thing that can help you. When you look at the pandemic, everyone was putting on these COVID taxes for increase because fuel and whatnot. When you have a contract that's set in place, you don't need to worry about, you know, things like that that can change what your tenants are paying or what yourself's paying, depending on how lease is set up. So we always try and look at these little things and, you know, the what ifs, and make sure that we have all those X's crossed.
Well, I think it would be a big benefit to have volume as you get bigger, in terms of there's some scale of efficiencies that you can have in terms of maintaining these shopping centers. Mm-hmm. That have you been looking at growing in terms of the maintenance and cost savings in the maintenance that you can do because of your size?
We always try and go out and get the best number. Fortunately, with the way that labor is and whatnot, we understand that, and it leaves little room usually on negotiations for that sense. But we do try and when we make a deal with, whether it be landscaping or snow removal, we try and do grouping to get the best price always.
So you don't really use in-house people for most of the maintenance. We contract that out to different companies.
We have inside sources, but depending on what we're doing and the way that it's set up, we also do have outside subcontractors.
And how do you, if you look 3 years down the line, how do you see the mix of stores that you're going to have? What type of stores? What changes? Will there be more personal services companies, more gyms rather than companies that are, you know, the traditional retailers? How do you see the mix of stores changing, other than your anchor tenants?
Well, we're staying with a healthy mix. I would like to stay with more supermarkets, as you know, you don't need to worry about them. They're always going to need quick service restaurants, something that's like a grab and go. That's always good to have in your portfolio. A lot of food, we really like to stay in the mix in our centers, because it's something that's of a demand. And also medical is something that's on the rise on leasing, and that's something that we've been trying to put into any strip center that we have or shopping center that we have availability.
Do you look at, when you make a mix, do you look to make a mix of stores that don't have a lot of traffic with ones that do? In other words, maybe a medical center, a walk-in medical center, doesn't need as much parking spaces, wouldn't use as much parking spaces as a Costco or a store like that. Do you look at how much utility of the parking area that a tenant will take when you look to make your mix?
We always take that into account. We never want to see one tenant struggle with having their customers not having enough parking. So when you do say that, yes, that's definitely correct. Always try and make a healthy mix. If we know we're going to put a Costco or ShopRite that's going to have a massive amount of foot traffic attraction, then we'll try and counter that with something that's a little bit smaller, but also will help create foot traffic and also be successful off of each other.
So you see this company just continuing to grow as a family business. You're not looking to cash out. This is a long-term play for you and your family. I would think, and that's really terrific that you have built this as a family business.
Thank you for that. Yes, we're, I guess you would call us one of the luckier families. We, work very well hand in hand. On the younger generation, it's myself, my sister Christine, who is on the development side also, and then my other sister Stephanie and my cousin Marissa are on the buying, selling, and the realty divisions.
Well, that's really quite a solid next generation team. I know your father and uncle helped build this in the first generation, and certainly they got a really strong team that's coming off the bench, and not coming off the bench, but to take over, that are working and have proven themselves at a very young age, and that's strong for any company, and would be envious of what you have. Anyway,
I appreciate that.
I think we're about done. It's been very informative to discuss how the COVID epidemic has affected your business. It seems to have affected it in a positive way. So it hasn't all been negative because of this epidemic. Companies have grown and thrived and taken advantage of the opportunities. And Constantino Development seems to be one of those companies. So Peter, I want to thank you for your time. And looking to see you again soon on the golf course.
Hi, thank you for that. And yes, I will definitely see you on the golf course. And you had a couple stellar shots also yesterday.
Yeah, not too many. You know what they say about a blind squirrel? Occasionally gets a nut. That's where I was. Thank you, Peter. I'll speak to you later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.